Amen. What a Christ honoring spirit there is in the service. Amen. And if we'll keep it there, God will continue to minister as the word is preached. If you turn to Luke 22, we're in our promise series, but we're going to take time out from that for a communion meditation. And as you're turning, Luke 22, this week, 10 o'clock Tuesday is prayer meeting. 6 o'clock that evening is youth nursing home ministry. Wednesday's our family worship night. For a few more weeks, we'll be hearing from our other ministers on Wednesday evening. And then Friday at 6:30 is young married couple fellowship. And Saturday at 10 is Elisha and Esther. Don't forget tonight's service. My heart is thrilled every time when there's folks, extra folks, in the prayer room before service praying. Amen. We just want to see God have His way in our Sunday evening service. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read a few verses. You can keep your Bibles open. We'll revisit some of these and those that we've left out as we've preached this morning. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, Jesus giving instruction to two of His disciples, the Master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? That's verse 11. Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. I want you to think on the word furnished. He wasn't talking about lazy boys and couches. He was talking about it was furnished with the table necessary for the Passover supper. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover, that's a meal. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I am among you as he that serveth. Verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I have appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In that last verse, I want you to take particular notice of two words. Jesus called this Passover table, which becomes our communion table, he called it my table. My table. I want to minister this morning on dining at His table. Dining at His table. How many truly believe Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed? Now, I want to make this note before we pray. I had to readjust some of the terminology I learned because I'm from down south. And down south you eat breakfast, dinner, and the night meal is supper. But we're going to put all that aside, and dinner, supper, we're going to use those synonymously this morning because we're talking about the Last Supper and dinner and all that, but we're going to talk about dining at His table. Whatever you call it, the important thing is you be there. Amen. You be there. Heavenly Father, make Jesus real. May Jesus by the Holy Spirit be brought near. Lord, you know every need of every heart here. Minister by the power of the Holy Spirit. Use me, O God, as your instrument in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I've already mentioned in passing that our communion that we'll partake of today originated in the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he suffered. The Last Supper came about at a yearly feast of the Jews, the Passover. Yearly, the Jews would celebrate at this meal, the Passover. They would celebrate that time 1,400 years earlier when God, by His miracles and by His mighty hand, brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, delivered them from their awful taskmasters. So annually at the Passover, Israel would celebrate this great deliverance. Jesus took the occasion of that year's Passover to turn it on its head and make it something new for the new covenant and New Testament. And he turned that Passover into the first communion. I got to thinking about that, something I've never dwelt on before, but at that original Passover, God had given instructions for each family to kill a lamb and take the blood and put it on the post and the sides and of the door and to go in the house. And he gave them specific instructions on preparing that lamb, one lamb for a family. And then they sat at that table and they feasted on that lamb with their staff in their hand and their clothes on, prepared to be delivered from Egyptian bondage. I got to thinking about this week, and on that original table, as they sat at the table, there was deliverance taking place. Deliverance had already begun as they sat at the table. Why could we not expect this morning, as we've come around the table, that even as we are getting ready to and will be partaking, that deliverances would not happen in people's life this morning? If it happened at the first meal, the first Passover, why can we not expect at this communion, this table, this period of dining, that God's people would have deliverances in their life before they left the building? How many believes we can expect that? Hallelujah. I believe that we can. You see, to eat together is a human social interaction. It's human fellowship around a meal that is sharing and friendship and love. It's all tied together. Sometimes we make the announcement, after service there'll be food and fellowship in the Vaughn Hall. How many's heard that announcement? Food and fellowship in the Vaughn Hall. And you see, we use food for an excuse to have the fellowship. Right? We're not using fellowship for an excuse for the food, right? Food is the occasion of the fellowship. And the place of eating is the table. And so the table becomes a symbol of intimate fellowship, intimate sharing. The table becomes the symbol of family and friendship and camaraderie and togetherness. The table, amen, you know, this is something that we don't think about a lot, but it's so true. The Olympics are in London, and I was thinking of a time when I and another brother were in London, and we went to eat somewhere. And I won't talk about their food, but let's just say I'll stick with American Southern cooking. Amen. But we waited in a long line there, and finally they called our name, and we went, and the table was about 30 inches long, about this long. And there was already people sitting at it across from each other. And the hostess said to us, right here. And I'm saying, right here. You know, in America, we want elbow room. When we eat, we get with it. She said, yes, right here. And we sat down there, those two strangers there, they never looked at us. I mean, not that we wanted them to, but they never looked at us. They never made a comment. I needed the salt. I said, would you pass the salt, please? It was like a robot. Why? Because there was a violation there. Here in America, we don't share tables with people we're not wanting fellowship with. How many would be comfortable if you were at the steakhouse and there was an empty chair happened at your table and you were there just talking in fellowship, and all of a sudden a stranger you never saw sat down there, pulled out his chair, sat down, took his napkin, threw it on his lap, and just started looking around trying to join the conversation? How many feel comfortable with that? How many would feel comfortable if you were the stranger and you went to someone else's table and there they are having a good old time? Now, I know there's some people that, break into graduation parties and birthday parties and church dinners. You know, they don't know anybody. They just food, you know. But most of us would feel uncomfortable going to a table of folks that we didn't know and sitting with them. Why? Because the table really isn't just about food. The table is about fellowship. Amen. And this is what the Last Supper was about. Jesus was wanting fellowship with his disciples, and his disciples were fellowshipping with him. But I want to remind you, that was the first of these communions, the Last Supper. But we are now his disciples. I said, we are now his disciples. And what went on between him and the original disciples at the first communion, in a sense, can happen today between him and us, his disciples today. The same thing, the camaraderie, the fellowship, the intimate sharing between Jesus and the original disciples can happen today at this communion. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The table plays an important role in our natural life, but this table today plays an important role in our spiritual life. Our natural table plays an important role in the closeness of our natural family. But this table today plays an important role in the closeness of our spiritual family. We need this table. How many knows a lot can go on at a table when a family gathers? Friends gather. Some good, some bad. You get together at the table, there's laughter, there's tears, there's sharing, there's debate. Sometimes there's a fight thrown in just for good measure. At the table, stories are told, matters are discussed, plans are made. But most importantly, it's at the table that relationships are deepened. I remember many times in my life when pressures were great, just being able to sit at the table with my wife and my children and just join into that. It was just such a relief. Something happened at the table. But as I mentioned, sometimes bad things happen at the table. Bad news comes out. Attitudes show. Amen. Conflict surface at the table. But beyond that, the table is a place where good things happen. I won't bore you with statistics this morning, but right now a recent study showed that kids who eat at the table with their parents and family are more physically healthy than kids that do not eat at the table with their parents. In fact, just one statistic here, children that eat at the table with their parents are 40% more likely to make A's. And that doesn't mean you start having five meals a day and say you're going to make A's. It's the fellowship. It's what goes on at the table. Amen. What a difference our time with Him at His table can make in our lives this morning. I want you to note a few things. The first thing, I want you to note the desire for dinner. I'm talking about this original time together. Verse 14, so the hour has now come. He sat down, the 12 apostles with them, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is his last chance to be with his disciples. For I say unto you, I'll not eat it any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now listen, it was not the food Jesus was desiring. When he said, I want to eat this meal with you, it wasn't the food he was desiring. It wasn't even that annual celebration of the ritual. Amen. It wasn't any of that. What Jesus meant when he said, I have desired to have this supper with you, he was saying, I want that time of fellowship. I want that time of interaction. I want these last moments I spend on earth to be moments of sharing with you, my disciples. I begin to think about this. Jesus said to the original disciples, I have desired with great desire to have this supper with you. But I will, you know, wonder of wonders, just like Jesus desired to have fellowship at the table with the original disciples, I believe right here this morning, our Lord and Savior desires to have fellowship with us, his disciples. I believe he's saying this morning, with great desire, I desire to meet with you at my table and fellowship with you and to know you intimately and to share with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing that our Lord thinks that way and feels that way? But the question is, do I have as much desire for his table and for fellowship as he has for me at his table? You may not feel a desire or longing this morning to be in his presence at his table, to have fellowship with him, but I want you to know he desires fellowship with you this morning in this communion. I don't know how you feel, but there are times I just need to get to his table. I don't know how many feel this need this morning, but I feel a need for the presence of Christ and to know that he's desiring to spend that time with me. Hallelujah. He wants me at his table this morning. Think about it. And it doesn't have to happen just when we have communion. Communion is just a figure of any time we spend in his presence. The next thing I want you to notice is the dividing at dinner. Look in verse 17. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Distribute it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them. The implication is, again, the instruction is, as he gave the bread, divide it among yourselves, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You see, the supper wasn't just about Jesus sharing with his disciples. It was about the disciples sharing with one another. He took the cup, handed it to the closest disciple, and said, pass this on and share with the other disciples. He took the bread and broke it, perhaps passed some this way and some that way. Once it left his hands, it was in the hands of his disciples. He had shared with them. Now he said, you share with one another. I want to tell you this morning, you may not understand how important your involvement is in every service. When Jesus is giving bread and manna from heaven, he gives it to a body and expects them to take that bread and divide it and to share with one another. You don't know what a difference it may make that you're singing at the other end of the pew. You don't know what a difference it may make for someone to hear you praying beside them at the altar. I'm talking about the table. Isn't just Jesus sharing with us? It's our sharing with one another. Amen. The only division that should be at his table is when we take the bread and divide it to share it to someone else. Now here's the sad thing. Jesus said, that's the kind of division I want at my table. I want you to divide and share the cup, divide and share the blessings, divide and share the bread. But after he said that, another division happened at the table. Not only did they share the bread and cup with each other, they began to bicker among themselves at his table. Verse 23. Now, we all look incredulous here, but that's because none of us ever have any bickering at our tables. Right? How many can lift a hand this morning and say, there has never been any bickering at my table? Verse 23, and they begin to inquire among themselves which of them that should do this thing. And there was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. There was strife among them. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, or you shall not be like the world. But he that's greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one that serveth. They got into discussion, a debate, a bickering about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You can read other accounts of this. And Jesus said, you're missing the whole thing. In the kingdom, it's not about who's the greatest. It's about whom is the most willing to serve. Amen. You see, they got divided at the table. He told them to divide the bread, but they divided themselves. I mean, Satan would like there to be that kind of division at the table. Satan doesn't like it when we're dividing the bread and sharing the blessings of God with one another. What Satan likes is if there's that other kind of division at the table. Amen. Being at odds with one another. Having things in our hearts against somebody. Not willing to let something go. Amen. Divided over a certain issue or a certain thing and how things ought to be done. I don't know how you feel, but when I'm the observer, nothing is as unpleasant and upsetting as seeing families fight at the table. We were in a picnic area this week, and we were sitting at a table, and at a table about two tables over, there was a mom. I mean, there were other people at the table, but there was a mom that got to screaming at her kids, and her kids were crying and screaming. I mean, it was a big scene. Amen. Past the roll age, you know. I mean, everyone was stopping and looking around. There's nothing as unseemly and unpleasant and disrupting as fighting at the table. And if it's true naturally, I want to tell you, it's true spiritually.
spiritually, there's nothing as unpleasant. There's nothing as disruptive. There's nothing as grievous to our God that when there's fighting at his table. I'm not talking about standing up and giving blows to one another. I'm talking about things in between. Divisions over different issues, different ideas, different beliefs. Amen. Different things that have happened in the past. I mean, we're just like any family. Things are going to happen. But those things that are in between, it's those divisions need to be taken care of. As Christ has forgiven us, we ought also to forgive one another. Amen. We shouldn't be upset at someone down the table. We should just be glad that we're there and that they're there too. They're not out in sin, but they're at the table too. There should never be that kind of division at the table.
Can you say amen? I know we use servers, but the servers just, I'll leave that on. The servers just take it to the person at the end of the aisle. But what if they hand it to Cecil and he tries to hand it to Elaine, but bam, it hits something that's in between them. I want to ask you, when you're passing the bread and the wine, when you pass it to your neighbor, figuratively, is there something in between that keeps you from passing it? Jesus said, pass that bread. Pass that cup. What are you going to be hitting up against? Hallelujah. Whether it's in your individual family, maybe it's someone across the church. I'm not responding to any situation. I'm just preaching the text. But if there's something there that's not right, remember you're at his table. And he wants no divisions. He wants nothing between his people. Because we all need what only he can give us. And there's no big and little and great and least. We're all on equal at his table. Can you say amen? And then I want to talk sadly about the departure from dinner. Verse 21, Jesus sadly said, behold the hand of him. John said, with great grief he said this. That's what John said, with great grief. Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he's betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And at this point, one gets up, named Judas, and goes out and betrays the Lord. John said, Jesus looked at them and said, one of you at this table shall betray me. And they looked at one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore said unto him, ask the Lord who it is of whom he spake. He then, leaning on Jesus' bosom, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered him, he it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Said, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And Judas went out, departed from that place. At supper, the last supper, the last time that Jesus had to share with his disciples, one that shared the table with the Lord, one that fellowshiped with him intimately, went out, departed, and betrayed him. Now look, I'm not trying to be melancholy or pessimistic, but I want you to know the first communion says something about all communions. I hope not. But did you know, as was in the case of Judas, today's communion could be someone's last communion. This could be the last time they had any desire to be with Christ. They may leave this communion today and turn their back and their heart and their life from Jesus. You say, how can you say that? Think about it. There's been a lot of last communions for folks. There are folks that a year ago would have been here to partake communion, but somewhere last year they took their last communion. It ought to be our desire that our last communion would be followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb. That should be the only last communion we ever take. Someone's last communion. I begin to think about how a family, how they are at the table, characterizes what kind of family that is. You know, I don't know what your family is like, but some families, every dinner time is a free-for-all. Everybody's talking loudly. They're talking at the same time. And there's 14 debates going on at the same time. And only four people there. Other families sit there very properly, hardly ever say a word, move their spoons away from their proper quiet. How many knows what a family's like is revealed at the dinner table? What's your family? No. Ours was the first. I want you to know this table this morning will reveal what people are like. I was listening to a book about John Wilkes Booth that shot Lincoln. It was talking about his days of when he fled from Discovery, fled from the Union Army that was seeking for him. And his clothes had been dirtied and torn and worn out. But it said when he went to this one home, even though he looked like a tramp, his manners at the table betrayed him and said that he was a man of good upbringing. Even his clothes couldn't hide what he was really like. The table revealed it. And I want to tell you how a person is at this table reveals what they're really like. At this table, when someone is unmoved, unthinking, unreflective, unhumbled, distracted, disengaged, that reveals who they are spiritually. It's at his table. And Judas was revealed for what he was at the table. That final act of betrayal was revealed at that last supper. And I want you to know every time we partake of it, this table reveals what we're like. Did you know that table started full, but soon it had an empty place? Some of you can relate with me on this. We had four children. We got a big table. Sandra's taken all the leaves out now, but it's still a big table. And there's a lot of times Dad will sit in there. I'm glad she's there, and I'm glad Andrew's there. But those empty chairs just bother me. How many else has ever went through that? It's sad, isn't it? But I'm telling you, what bothers me even more is those empty chairs at the Lord's table. It did not have to be that way. Brother Brian, I'm thinking of some young people this morning. Their chair at the Lord's table, it's empty this morning. I'm thinking of some moms and dads, some married couples. Their chairs are empty at the. I'm not just talking about they're absent today because of sickness. I'm talking about they don't serve the Lord. The departure at the table. I've often noted, and I love doing this, when someone has come to know the Lord, I've often done this, you know I have. I'd say this morning on a communion Sunday, I said there's folks that's partaking of communion with us for the first time. Oh, I love to do that. Isn't that a blessing? And that's the way it ought to be. It not ought to ever be that there's some last communion was their last one. They're not with us today. Years ago, when Sandra and I were still young pastors, there were some older pastors we highly esteemed. And we were holding a revival in a certain area. They were in that area. They said, can we come by and talk to you? And these were people we held high, and still do, high esteem. A lot older, old enough to be our parents. But we got in the evangelist quarters and they began to weep and cry and said, we're leaving our church. And we said, well, what's wrong? And they began to share that one of the families that had been the closest to them, board member, close to them, worked with them, had said, we'd like to have dinner with you sometime. So they ate dinner with this family, and then so the pastor reciprocated. He said, won't you come over this time and we'll have dinner? And so they did. And he said they sat at the dinner table and they talked, And towards the end of the dinner, the dad cleared his throat and he said, "We just wanted to tell you, we're unhappy about this and that and this and that and this and that. And we just want you to know that last Sunday was our last Sunday." And the pastor's wife began to weep and said, "How could they do that? How could they sit at our table knowing that they were going to leave? Sit at our table knowing they had those things in their heart. And yet act like, accept the invitation and act like everything's okay, knowing that they were going to go and they were going to leave." I've thought about that through the years, but you know, there's lots of communions that people sit at his table with things in their heart, knowing that they're going to make that decision against serving the Lord. Make that decision that'll take them from the things of God. I have no idea. I'm not targeting anyone, but I wish someone would hear this morning. This could be your last communion as Judas depart from dinner, but it doesn't have to be that way. Because at his table, those things can be revealed. And instead of following through, we can say, "Oh God, I can't believe I was thinking that way. I can't believe I had that thing in my heart. Oh God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, I can't believe I was thinking about leaving. God, I don't want to leave your table. I want to stay at it to the end." Hallelujah. Then there was denial after dinner. Verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." He went from that table and he went out and denied he even knew him. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He saith, "I am not." Peter therefore stood and warmed himself, and they said unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants was stood there, being a servant of the high priest, saith unto him, "Did I not see thee in the garden with him?" He denied it, said, "I never knew him." Poor Peter. We can be awfully tough. But the question is, how can any of us partake at his table on Sunday and live like we don't know him on a Monday? Have you seen it happen? I've seen people partake at his table on a Sunday and live Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday like they never knew him. You know, none of us really have the opportunity like Peter to be confronted and say, "Now, do you know Jesus?" We don't deny him that way. But there are folks that sit at his table and deny him across the social media throughout the week by their deportment, their words. How many knows it doesn't have to be that way? I was disturbed several years ago. There were some young people that went and ministered at a certain church, ate the food, slept in the beds, took the love offering, and went away and ran down that church and that pastor. Talked about how liberal it was and how they did liberal things and this and that. And I had some means of getting involved. And so here was my thought. If you really felt that way, you should have never partaken of their food. You should have never taken that love offering. You should have never slept in that bed. Because when you've received somebody's hospitality, you should never go away and run them down. This morning at his table, we're going to receive the greatest of hospitality, the greatest of fellowship. We ought to leave with nothing but appreciation and gratitude and good things to say about our Lord, his people, his church. Hallelujah. There should be no denial after dinner, only a determination to live more closely to him. Last of all, at that dinner it was spoken of a destiny
of another dinner. Hallelujah. Verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed to you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I know some of this is specific to positions of the apostles. But the apostles aside, what is true is everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is a disciple. And if they sit at this table, they have a promise that there's an eternal table to come. There's an eternal table in His kingdom. And if we're faithful here at this table, one day we'll sit at that eternal table. Can you say amen? Oh, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride hath made herself ready, and there's a glorious table spread. Hallelujah. Notice what he said to them. He said, you're going to be at my eternal table, because ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Things got rough and you stayed with me. Bad things happened and you stayed with me. The crowd turned against us and you stayed with me. And because you have continued with me in my temptations, one day you're going to sit at that eternal table with me in my kingdom, in my presence. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, church, keep coming to the table. Amen. You go through hard times. You have trials. There's temptations. There's heartache. There's heartbreak. There's difficulties. There's doubts. There's darkness and discouragement, but just continue with Him through every temptation. Keep on coming to the table, and one day, if you're faithful coming to His table, one day you'll sit with Him in the kingdom of God at that eternal table. Hallelujah, for eternal fellowship in an eternal presence. Oh, I just want to keep on coming. Continue, continue, continue. It'll be that way. Would you come, music, whomever is singing this morning? I think about this message, dining at His table. I've already said to the point that there are those that are no longer here at the table. There are those that should be here, truth is known. There are even those that could be here. There are those that are here, but as the writer of Hebrews said, their hearts have already turned back. But thank God there are those here, and they'll be here the next communion, and they'll be here the next, and the next. There are those that are here, hallelujah, and one day there'll be an eternal kingdom. But I want to tell you one more class. There are those that have never had a communion who are on their way. If we'll be faithful as the people of God, serve Him, preach the truth, and worship, there are those that have never partaken of a communion, but they're already on the road here. God's already dealing with them. His Spirit's already drawing them. Amen. And one day they're going to be at this table. It could be your lost loved ones that He's dealing with today, to bring them to His table, dining at His table. Most families, they go over this with their children. There's things you don't do at the table. You don't text. You don't read a book. You don't sing. You don't clip your toenails. There are things you don't do at the table. How many has ever heard that litany of things? Well, there are things you just don't do at His table either. You don't harbor things against your brother. You don't harden your heart. You don't think about, well, how can I just, you know, live this enough to claim to be saved, but go ahead and do it. But there are things you do at His table. You soften your heart. You listen as He tells you that He loves you. You say to Him, I want more of you. I want more of your presence. More of your fellowship. Hallelujah. Church, this morning we're dining at His table. Amen. What are you going to do at His table? How's it going to be at His table? I believe, as I said earlier, there could be healing at His table this morning. I think things could be resolved at His table this morning. I think hearts could be soft. I think hearts that are this close to turning back
could be soft and say, oh, that's not what I want to do. I want to serve him better. I want to see if your hand this morning, if you're just glad that he's allowed you to be at his table. Oh, hallelujah. I kept saying I wouldn't even mention it because I preached it before. One of the greatest pictures is the Old Testament when Jonathan's son was dropped as a baby as they fled. And that son was lamed. But David said, I want to show kindness to some of Jonathan's family. Does he have anyone left? They said, there's one left, but he's crippled. David said, bring him to the king's table. He brought him to the king's table. Amen. He was lame. But as long as he sat at the king's table, the table hid his lameness. Nobody could even tell he was lame, because at the king's table, his lameness was hid. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the king's table will cover a whole lot. It'll cover a whole lot of problems and difficulties and struggles. If you can just get to his table, his grace can do its work and take care of a whole lot of things. Oh, hallelujah. As the servers come, let's praise him across the building. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we worship you. Lord, we want fellowship. Lord, you're desiring fellowship with us this morning. We want fellowship with you. Lord, we want a fellowship with you this morning. Hallelujah. What are we going to do this morning? Let's make our hearts tender. Let's be thankful this morning. Let's say, Lord, as you desire fellowship with me, I desire fellowship with you. I desire your presence. Any that's professed a relationship, born again relationship with Christ, we invite you to take of communion with us. We just ask that all wait till everyone's been served. And during this time of serving, this is a wonderful time just to talk to the Lord. Make your heart soft and say, Lord, I just love being in your presence. I just love being near to you. We're dining at his table as certainly as those apostles did in the account I read. Let's fellowship with him.
When I'm down, very sad and discouraged, Satan talks about me. He says I'm worthless. When it seems I can't go on, and I'm standing all alone, one look gives me the strength to go. Calvary, Pilate's hall, a crown of thorns before them all. They laughed, they mocked him, and cast lots for his robe. Take one look at Calvary, you'll find the strength to carry on. When the storm clouds all around me are raging, I'm sinking and no one can save me. When the waves o'er me roll and I can't reach the shore, one look and I don't worry anymore. One look at Calvary, Pilate's hall, a crown of thorns before them all. They laughed, they mocked him, and cast lots for his robe. They beat him, they scorned him, but still he went on. Just take one look at Calvary, you'll find the strength to carry on. One look at Calvary, Pilate's hall, a crown of thorns before them all. They laughed, they mocked him, and cast lots for his robe. They beat him, they scorned him, but still he went on. Just take one look at Calvary, you'll find the strength to carry on. Very sad and discouraged, Satan talks about me. He says I'm worthless, but when it seems I can't go on, I'm standing all alone, one look gives me the strength to go on. One look at Calvary, Pilate's hall, a crown of thorns before them all. Lots for his robe. They beat him, they scorned him, but still he went on. Just take one look at Calvary, you'll find the strength to carry on.